Hello and welcome to our second NWSL preview show, looking ahead to the 2016 campaign. Yesterday we focused on the Boston Breakers. Today, doing things alphabetically, we focus on the Chicago Red Stars. Once again, I'm joined by my good friend Equalizer Soccer, Dan Laletta. Dan, how you doing, mate?
Very good.
Good man, good man. So we look at Chicago Red Stars, a playoff team from last year, had a very good season. When we compare where they are now compared to where they finished last season, what are we expecting from Rory Dames' side?
Oh, I think the Red Stars should be very good once again. They're one of my favorite teams in the sense that they have tradition. They've been a traditional build-up team from where they started. In 2013, they didn't get a lot of breaks with allocation. They had some bad breaks with injuries. They've gotten gradually better. Rory Dames has done a fabulous job using the draft to his benefit. Now they're moving to a wider and better pitch at Toyota Park as opposed to what they played on at Benedictine, the little college soccer park, which usually seemed like there was bad weather all the time there. The field was artificial. The field was narrow. You know, if there's a hole, I look maybe in the midfield where they've had been hit with a bunch of retirements, but I think the Red Stars are building something nice here and they're a factor and they should be in the playoff mix throughout the season.
You mentioned there that Rory Dames used the draft to his advantage. We were both at the draft in Baltimore in January, and the last round of the draft was pretty much dominated by the Chicago Red Stars. They traded a lot of picks in different places and players in different places to be able to pretty much own that final round. Because of that, do we have to look at their squad as a little bit of an unknown? There are people who are very dedicated to the college game who will know the players very well that Rory Dames has selected, but there will be others that maybe don't know as much about them. So how many of them feature this season? We don't know. It could well be that we look at some of them being more of a long-term pick, but could we potentially see some unknowns breaking into that side and having an impact?
You know, it's funny because I was buzzing around the draft room when that was going on, and then somebody said to me, what's with Rory trading for half of the last round of the draft? But I think what has happened now, and we've seen it a little bit in Seattle, Kansas City got hammered with retirements, but we've seen them at the very least build something consistent. What we're now seeing is that teams are getting good enough and they add a little bit of depth where they can draft players and they can keep them for the long haul. So I think what the Red Stars did was that they drafted some players that hopefully for them will either A, recover from some injuries and be someone that they can maybe develop for 2017 and beyond, or maybe they'll play for their reserve team. And when you don't necessarily need a lot of pieces to come in and fill holes on your roster right away, you can be a lot more flexible with the draft. So we'll see how it works. They've gotten some pretty good picks. Jen Hoy is one of the few non-allocated players that will still be on her original team from 2013. And she got picked, I believe, in the fourth round back in 2013 out of an Ivy League school. And she's a player that can legitimately score goals in NWSL. So I don't read too much into what he did in the late rounds in terms of the 2016 team, but I think it's an organizational strategy to some degree to just kind of bring in as many numbers as you can. And, you know, the thing about the NWSL draft is that the player pool, it's, you know, you can't really watch everybody play, even if you're a college coach. So the players Rory Dames likes might not be the same players that Jim Gabara likes. And that might just be because some of them played for Rory in the Midwest and maybe because Jim Gabara knows them from the East Coast. So, you know, sometimes, especially after the first half, you're not even dealing with the same pool. So he got his hands on players that he can keep around for a while. And we'll see in the next few years if it works out.
Yeah, completely agree. I mean, you mentioned Jen Hoy as being one of the players that has been there for a while, has been a consistent performer for them. One player that really stood out last year was forward Sofia Huerta, who scored some goals, was named Player of the Week a couple of times, I believe, last year as well. She's going to be key again, isn't she? Because, again, much like other teams, Chicago will lose their women's national team players for the Olympics, Kristen Press, Alyssa Nair, Julie Johnston. So, again, Huerta could be the go-to player in terms of shooting that team into the playoffs again.
The interesting thing about Huerta is that she did a large amount of her scoring last year when Kristen Press was not there, and it never seemed like her and Press really clicked when Press came back. And I spoke to Huerta before the playoff game last year, and she kind of acknowledged that, yeah, it's been a little bit difficult to make the adjustment to Press being there. Now, Rory Dames has told me that he thought Huerta actually played better when Press was there, but that didn't result in the goals and the assists. So it'll be very interesting to see, first of all, how if Kristen, because Press was the best forward in the league last year, I thought, for the short time that she was there, where she scored 10 goals in 11 games or something like that. So it'll be interesting to see if she can repeat that and how the team can adjust to her not being there, because that's a really, really big presence to take out of the lineup.
It's an interesting point that you make there, and it's worth asking that question. We see U.S. Women's National Team players and players from other countries that maybe spend a lot of time away from the club. The U.S. players in particular spend a considerable amount of time during the season away with the national team. For them to come in and to be expected, number one, to have that impact, but number two, for the players around them to adjust when every training session, or more often than not, training sessions won't involve the U.S. Women's National Team players. Could there potentially be an argument that sometimes, without doubt, they have quality, but sometimes bringing them back in can sometimes have a negative effect as opposed to a positive one?
Well, I think you saw it a little bit in Portland last year, where they could never really figure out how to work in their national team players and then work the national team players out. And I've had different coaches tell me that it's almost like having an additional preseason. Even FC Kansas City last year, ahead of the final, was saying that it was difficult when the national team players came back in, and they had some of the most solid and consistent national team players throughout the league. So yeah, I do think that's fair. I think this year we're expected to have those players around a little bit more in terms of how much they're with the teams in the lead up to the Olympics as opposed to the World Cup. But that is certainly something that could be a factor. And you know what else? If I'm a player and I get all the first 11 reps to training, and then, oh, by the way, here comes Kristen Press or Becky Sauerbrunn or whoever, and all of a sudden I'm on the bench. I understand it, but I can also understand if that player, gets a little bit bent at the fact that another player just swoops in and steps into the starting lineup. So it's a really delicate balancing act, and Chicago's got, players on three of the four lines that are extremely key to being, to them and who will be at the Olympics. So it'll be interesting to see how they adjust.
Yeah, I completely agree. And before anyone sort of raises their hand and asks the question, how on earth can you say that a national team player has a negative effect? There is no doubt they add quality. Absolutely no doubt about that whatsoever. But when you are training day in, day out, and they are not there, for them all of a sudden to have to step in and to make an impact themselves, but also expect those players around them to be able to have that chemistry. And like you said, Sofia Huerta and Kristen Press not necessarily having that great relationship or that chemistry, because not because they don't get on and not because they're not good players, but because Sofia Huerta played majority of her games without Kristen Press, will have trained more often than not without Kristen Press, and therefore you're asking two players very, very different in style to all of a sudden come together and build up a very good chemistry. So I think that's the point that we're trying to make, and no way are we suggesting that these players are not adding any quality. But when you look at Chicago,
I think to follow up on that, Kieran, Press in particular, you can't duplicate Press in practice, right? You can't duplicate Becky Sauerbrunn, but really all she does is defend really well. So you can, in theory, have someone in there who defends well. But Kristen Press is kind of one of the more unpredictable players in the league. So you can't really put anybody in there and say, all right, you be Kristen Press today, because it just won't work.
Very good point. Very, very good point. Bringing in players to meet that standard, not necessarily always easy. When we assess how they did last year, they finished second. They finished runners-up to Seattle Reign, had an incredible season. But then it came to that postseason game in the playoffs against FC Kansas City, and it would be fair to say they absolutely capitulated. Now, what do they have to do, in your mind, to go that one step further and reach an NWSL championship game and not have the same issue that they had last year?
I don't know that there's anything specific about that game that needs to change. I mean, obviously, they need to play better, and Michelle Dalton had a game that she would probably rather forget and probably won't ever be able to forget. But, you know, in the whole of that game, despite the scoreline, I actually thought the Red Stars played reasonably well over the course of the 90 minutes. But the two mistakes they made early both came back and led to goals, and they were unable to finish when they had some opportunities late in the first half, throughout the second half, to kind of cut in and make FC Kansas City sweat a little bit. They didn't necessarily finish the season on a great note. They did their best work early and middle of the season, and sometimes that can be a mentality. Sometimes that's just the way things break, where you peak a little bit too soon. But I wouldn't be too – I think if they're good again, I wouldn't be too concerned when they get down to the playoffs about, you know, not being able to close the deal.
And where do you see the team's main strengths and main weaknesses? I look at, personally, I look at that midfield. You've got players like Vanessa DiBernardo, who's had a good stint away down in the W League in Australia with Perth Glory. Danielle Colaprico, who has recently been called up into the US Women's National Team. We know about the qualities that Julie Johnston has, plays more of a holding midfield role for Chicago, obviously plays centre-back for the US Women's National Team. But for me, a lot of quality in that midfield, which potentially is the creativity they need to provide the ammunition for the likes of Jen Hoy and Sofia Huerta and Kristen Press.
Well, their midfield is the unit that should stay intact throughout the season. I'm worried a little bit about the depth there, but obviously Colaprico was spectacular last year. I know they're really high on Amanda DaCosta, who had mixed results in Washington, but they got her on the trade market. DiBernardo has very quietly stepped in as a top five pick and gradually taken on more and more responsibility. But again, I hesitate because I don't think their midfield is as deep as it has been in the past. I think they should be pretty good in back. By from what I've heard, Casey Short has looked fantastic. She was a first-round pick in 2013 and kept getting hurt, and she's actually still hasn't played a game in this league. And goalkeeping is not an issue because Nair is fantastic. Now, I've made the argument that Nair hasn't had a lot of games in the last several years behind a really solid back four, and that's a little bit of a different game to play than it is when you're in Boston and you're just getting shots at you all the time, and you say, oh, she made 8 or 9 great saves, but she also gave up 3. Can she make 1 or 2 key saves and give up 0 when she has to? I think she can, but I also think that she has to prove it, and I don't think you'll find a much better backup than Michelle Dalton, who, by the way, was given the option to maybe pursue a move somewhere else and try to be a number one keeper. She was told right after the season that the Red Stars would go out and try to bring in somebody to be the number one, like an Alyssa Nair, and she said, I'm committed, I want to stay here. So I think Dalton will be a very fine fill-in when Nair's gone.
Absolutely, yeah, definitely a decent backup, and I think that game that she had in the postseason last year was hopefully a one-off, and I don't think we'll see many more like that. I mean, yesterday we spoke about our players to watch for the Boston Breakers. Who's your player that people should look out for at Chicago?
Well, they put I'm going to go to a defender and be a little bit boring here, but they put a lot of eggs in the Samantha Johnson basket. They moved Don Abby Erceg. I know they did a lot of, behind the scenes looks at how the goals were conceded and when Johnson was on and when Erceg was on. And the Johnson combination's been pretty good in the back, so I think Samantha Johnson is very key. And then between Hoy and Huerta up front, I don't think either one of them has to be spectacular, but one or the other will need to be contributing more often than not in order for Chicago to score enough goals.
Yeah, I would agree with that, completely agree with that. I think there's some very interesting names there to look out for. Personally, I'm torn between Vanessa DiBernardo, as I said, had a very good stint down in Australia for the W League, for Perth Glory. I think Erin Gilliland as well. I think we saw glimpses of her last year, obviously drafted in last year's college class. And I think potentially she could be someone who has an influence this year. So I think there's a couple, along with the names that you've mentioned, there's plenty of quality there in Chicago. Depth in squad could be an issue, but definitely a team that will no doubt have a good season again. Well, again, probably enough from you and I, Dan. I managed to have a chat with Sofia Huerta in the week to have a chat about the upcoming season and her thoughts. So here she is. Okay, so I'm delighted to be joined by Chicago Red Stars forward Sophia Huerta for this Chicago Red Stars NWSL preview. Sophia, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. We've had some issues with Skype and you've introduced me to the wonderful world of FaceTime audio, so thank you very much for that. I will have to get with the times. I will start off by asking how pre-season has been for you and for the team, and what's the feeling going into the 2016 season?
So far, preseason has actually been going really well. A lot of people retired, a lot of veterans have left the team, so we're actually kind of a younger team now, which is kind of interesting as someone who was a rookie last year, because me and my two roommates, Danny and Aaron, who were rookies last year, are now kind of veterans on the team, or some of the veterans. But it's a good feel, because when you're so young, you're a little naive, and we're all just kind of on the same page and have the same and right idea of going into the season. We look really good. We have some new additions to the team. Casey Short, who's a really athletic and technical outside back, and a few other players who Rory's brought in who have really been a great addition to our team. So I think going into preseason, we're actually looking really good, and I'm really excited for the season.
I was in Baltimore for the draft back in January, and Rory made a real point of trading quite a lot of picks to make sure that he had almost the last round to himself and brought in a number of players. As a young player yourself, how much do you feel Chicago has given you and gives young players in particular an opportunity to show what they're capable of?
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, Rory actually has a really good eye of recognizing talent where a lot of people may not recognize it. A lot of the people we actually drafted in that last round are from Illinois or have practiced with us and like during their summers, you know, before they went into their college season. So Rory just was familiar with a lot of those players he ended up drafting, and they're all really talented players who you wouldn't necessarily, I guess, think who would get drafted. They did get drafted, and they've been doing really well. So he is really good at the draft. He's been doing really well with that.
Well, you will know how those players feel because you've just come off the back of your rookie year, made a really good impression, 6 goals, 3 assists, quite a number of starts. How, from your perception, when you look back on it, how fondly do you look at your rookie season in Chicago?
Well, I think I'm pretty hard on myself, so I do think it could have definitely been better. I feel like as if I was a little inconsistent, but I'm happy that I was able to get some stats on board so I can say, like, yeah, I did have 6 goals or I did have 3 assists, but it can always be better. But I couldn't have, you know, done any of that without my teammates. I think most of my goals, all of them were actually assisted. I don't think I created any of them by myself per se. So, but I couldn't have done it without the support of my teammates. We had a really good team last year. We got 2nd in the league. You know, ended up losing in the semifinal, but we made it really far in this program. Chicago Red Stars has been improving so much, and I'm so happy to be a part of the program.
I will cover that semifinal in a minute, but we won't go into too much detail because I'm sure it's not something that you want to go over in too much detail. But, I mean, talking about yourself continuing, you say you're hard on yourself, but 2 NWSL Player of the Weeks and an NWSL Player of the Month for a rookie, that's impressive, Sophia, and for a player who is coming into their first year and to make that impression, you can't not be too pleased with that, surely.
Yeah, I mean, that was an exciting couple. Well, it was an exciting month. I got all of those awards, and I was recognized for that stuff all in a month. So I would like to maybe be a little bit more consistent and have more goals and more games, because, you know, I scored 6 goals, but I did that all in 1 month, and the season is a little bit longer than that. So, of course, I'm so happy about those awards and the outcome of my rookie season, but I always think that it can be better. So, yeah, I am definitely not disappointed that I got those, but that was also last year, so I'm trying not to, you know, just focus on what I did last year and go into this season with just higher standards now that I'm not a rookie.
As part of this preview, I've been speaking with a colleague of mine, Dan Laletta. We both write for Equalizer Soccer. And one of the things that we kind of picked up on was the fact that yourself, Jen Hoy, you play a large part of the season together, and then when the national team players come back, you're almost having to adjust and adapt. Obviously, Kristen Press, hugely influential player when she's available, one of the best strikers in the world. How difficult, but also what are the benefits of having a player like Kristen available when she's there with you, and how she helps you, but then when she's away and you're having to adjust to different styles of play and she's not there?
Yeah, I mean, I played most of my games with Jen. Yeah, the hardest part is that you spend all this time in preseason learning, you know, specific tactics and playing with someone and getting used to them. And then, of course, Kristen comes in. And it's not that it was difficult to play with her. It takes time. And there was never really time for us to mold together. Because, I mean, she wasn't here for more than a week at a time, I feel like, from what I can remember. So that's obviously difficult because you have two preseasons, essentially, in one season, and that's just not normal. You have it at the beginning, and I experienced that with, like, Jen and all the players, all the non-national players. And then once they came back, we had to essentially go through another preseason. So it's very difficult in itself, but it's super beneficial because, like you said, she's one of the best forwards in the world. So it's so great to be at practice with her and learn from her, along with our other national team players who were on our team last year, like Julie, Box, and Choops. They just bring up the level so much. So it's insane. It's actually undescribable. It's just the level of intensity, how much it raises when they come into practice. It's unbelievable. Everyone just gets a lot better. So that's a benefit. But yeah, I would say the only downfall is that we just don't get a lot of time with them, especially because last year was the World Cup and this season is going to be the Olympics. So we're going to go through a similar situation again. But the good thing is that I had last year under my belt, and now I know how Press plays. I've watched a lot of film from last year, what I could have done differently to work better with her. Because something that makes her so good and so special, she is unpredictable. And that's hard for the defenders, but it was also kind of hard for me because I didn't know what to expect. But I've been studying a lot on that, so I think this year will be different. For me, at least, because I know the more, like, Kristen's style a little bit more now.
How do you go into this season with finishing last year? I hate to say it, but so disappointingly, that the first 25 minutes against FC Kansas City at home last year, you mentioned brilliant season, finishing runners-up to Seattle, Chicago Red Stars' best NWSL season by quite some way, to go into that game against FC Kansas City and to be 3-0 down at half, well, within 25 minutes. How do you respond to that going into the new season?
It's so funny because, yeah, I mean, you forget about that game. I mean, you don't forget about it because, yeah, I mean, it was kind of a blowout, but it's just the season ended, we had our off season, and now it's just a completely different season. Every team is going to be so different this year, so I don't think that we're dwelling on that at all. If you would have asked me the day after, I probably could give you a better answer. But going into this season, I mean, I don't even try to think about that game anymore. Currently, I'm focusing on our Notre Dame game tomorrow. And then, you know, you take day by day. That's how you succeed in this league and, I think, just in life. But, yeah, I really can't even – I remember losing 3-0, but, you know, you have to get over those things.
Absolutely, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. I mean, we mentioned earlier about the opportunity that young players get in Chicago. Your roommate, Danielle Colaprico, has had US Women's National Team call-ups recently. Aaron Gilliland had a big influence last year. How excited are you for the new season? Very young squad, but a very talented one as well.
Yeah, I'm really excited. There's such a good vibe this year. It just seems like we're all on the same page. We're understanding the tactics that Rory wants us to continue with. And it's nice because we have a lot of returners. So, like, we kind of already know the things that Rory wants us to do and work on. And then the new additions that we've added to our team, they're picking everything up so easily. So it just seems that we're kind of ahead of where we were last year at this time. But we also haven't really been tested. The teams that we have played so far, we've been beating 5-6-0. So it's going to be a good game tomorrow versus Notre Dame because we'll be able to see if we're able to execute what we've been learning with Rory. But being young and all kind of having the same goals of being on the national team, doing well this season with the Chicago Red Stars. You just have a lot of competitiveness and drive and just willingness to win and just be gritty. And I think that's what makes us so good.
I know players don't like to talk too much about goals and personal achievements, but when you look at the fact that Danielle's had those call-ups to the national team and has been involved in some camps, does that just increase your appetite to potentially get that call-up?
I mean, she's one of my best friends, so I'm so happy for her. I don't really think of it as, like, increasing my appetite. I think my appetite is as increased it could possibly be. Like, we all want to make that team. I know personally I've been wanting to make that team for a while now, and maybe it pushes me a little bit more. I don't really know. I've never really thought about that, but she's completely deserving of that, and I'm so proud of her.
And I won't, as I said, ask about personal goals or any goal targets that you've set for this new season, but my final question would be, what would be a successful season for you and the Chicago Red Stars?
Well, obvious, we would love to just win the NWSL because we've never done that as a club. And I think every player, that's one of their goals, is to win a title. I don't know. Making the playoffs, always just bringing our best game and focusing and executing those tactical plans that Rory and our team have kind of set out to do throughout the games, and just being gritty. I think that's something that Chicago Red Stars is really known for. We might not have all the big names, you know, compared to other teams, but we are solid and hardworking, and Rory's an amazing coach. He's done really well with this program. So I think just taking day by day, game by game, fighting the way we know how to fight, but of course our end goal is to win NWSL title.
Women's Soccer Zone. Follow the show on Twitter at WOSOZone.
Okay, so that was the brilliant Sofia Huerta. Big thanks to her for joining us on the show. And that brings us to the end of our Chicago Red Stars NWSL preview. You will have heard Sofia a couple of times mention in that interview the Red Stars game against Notre Dame. They did in fact win that game by 3-2. So good form going into the new season. So big thanks to you, Dan, once again for joining me and helping me along with this preview. Tomorrow we will have a look at the champions. Yes, we take a look at FC Kansas City and we'll see if they can potentially make it 3 titles in a row. But until then, thank you very much for tuning in once again. Take care of yourselves and bye-bye. We'll be right back.